This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The episode you're about to listen to has a lot of spoilers. We can't avoid that because we were so consumed and in love with this series called It's a Sin that's been out for a while. And we apologise in advance. If you don't want to find out what happens in It's a Sin,
go and watch it.
Go and watch it and then come and listen to this.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm here in Clapham, sitting next to my mum in her office. How are you, mum?
La.
Well, no, mum, you say la, but there's a very particular way of saying it.
Okay, say it.
Well, I think our guest this evening is going to teach us, because I've seen her talking about this on Women's Hour.
Seen her? You've heard her talking about
it. No, but I don't know, because I follow Emma Barnett. Anyway, she talks about how the la...
La.
I don't know if you're getting it right.
Well, I saw Russell T. Davis talk about it.
And?
He said that it was a way of connecting when he was growing up in Wales, and it was a way of connecting with people, and he used to say la to all his friends when he was living in a house in Wales, and they're all gay, and it was quite difficult being gay.
Okay, well, then I won't ask Lydia.
We will if you really want to.
I feel like we needed to do an episode that revolved around the brilliance of this series that was It's a Sin. We talked about it, we advertised it, we talked to Ollie Alexander about it, and now we are lucky enough to get Lydia West, who plays Jill. She was just magnificent in it. And so, yeah, I still want to keep the conversation going and I want to keep on talking about It's a Sin.
Well, I'm sure she's got other things to talk about as well,
yeah,
Jess.
Yeah, of course. We're going to talk about food and family.
Food and family,
up.
Yeah.
So after having Fern Cotton on, where she looked glowy, but she does look glowy regardless of the fact that she had a ring light on, Mum has bought two different ring lights. One that was like industrial size for like a girl group. And one that is a desk just been delivered. And
one was so tall that you'd have to be a giraffe to actually get your face in it. It was way above my
what
head.
What is that life of being an influencer? How does it feel, Mum?
Like, darling.
I'm very excited that we have Lydia West chatting to us. She's filming something at the moment, I believe.
Ooh, we might get a bit of goss.
A little scoop. And also shout out to sweet Ollie Alexander when I text him and was just like, babe, do you think Lydia would like to do it? And he kind of set it up, basically. So thank you, Ollie.
I love Ollie.
It would be lovely if Ollie just popped up again, yeah, like he did at the Christmas party. Anyway, Lydia West coming up on Table Manners. La! La!
So we'll have to do La again now.
Okay, go just do it, Mum.
You do it first.
No, because I know that there's
a particular way. Because Jessie says I don't do it properly.
Well, I heard you talking on Women's Hour and saying there's a very specific way of doing it.
All right, you do it first and I'll do it back.
La.
La.
La. Perfect.
You see?
So what would make it
wrong? To be honest, no, this is exactly what we went through. The dilemma was... I thought I was just doing it like this the whole time, but apparently I wasn't. And it wasn't high enough and it was too long. So I was going, la, And then it was meant to be just la. It's just really like staccato. La. But it took some training. Russell had us doing all sorts of la to get it right. It was so hard.
And is that because it was very dear to Russell and it had to be perfect because it was part of his story?
Exactly. So it was their private joke between himself, Jill, and some other of their friends, I think, who lived in the Pink Palace. It was their joke. So, yeah, it had to be right. It wasn't just a made-up fictional joke. It was like, we did this. And I don't think they do it anymore, but Jill even remembers doing it. And yeah, we were in rehearsals that first week and we were trying to get it right. In the end, Peter was like, I actually don't know now the difference between all of your laughs, because we just did it so many times. He was then just like, I don't know.
And also, for people that don't know, but I feel like everyone that has watched the TV show has kind of consumed everything around it, so lots of people may not know that Jill, who you play, actually played your mum in the show.
Yes, she did. So real life Jill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how perfect.
I know. I think even knowing that Jill, my character, was based on someone who was in Russell's life, that was just enough for me. But then knowing that she was playing my mother, I was just double whammied. I just couldn't really handle it.
What was she like?
She is exactly how fictional Jill is. She's so, so kind. She's so loving. She lived in the Pink Palace. She worked in the West End in theatre growing up, and she nursed people on their dying days, and she had lots of gay friends, and she went on all the marches, and she marched with the quilt, and she did everything kind of that you would imagine Jill, fictional Jill, does. She did. And yeah, her story, she would be on set and she'd just have so many anecdotes from the time, and even just kind of like fun that they'd get up to. Because that's what, like, the show, we wanted it to be like, Russell really wanted to just show the joyfulness of the show and just how the friendships and like the celebration of the time, and Jill just having that inspiration on set to just tell you that, yeah, oh my gosh, and then we went to this club and the parties in the Pink Palace and the marches, and it was just such a huge source of inspiration for me just to kind of like listen to her, and just, I was just in awe of everything that she said. She's so special. She's so important.
We'll talk about It's a Sin a bit, but of course we will, because we adored it, and hence why we wanted to have you on Table Manners. I texted Ollie.
I'm obsessed, like, with Table Manners. Can we? I'm obsessed with you both. Good. Lenny, can I just say,
yes, darling,
you remind me of someone, a friend of mine. His name's Robert Diamant. He's on Talk Art. Do you know the podcast Talk Art?
Yeah, I know Rob.
Yeah. So everything you say, Lenny, is so profound. It's like,
oh, you're so sweet.
What?
No. Tell Jessie.
Are you listening to the right
I'm sorry, Jessie.
Jessie, I'm the special one here, darling.
We know this. And I was laughing at the fact that you call yourself an extrovert. And I was like, I love this. I love her. She's great. But you're both,
Jessie, you're great.
I just discovered
that, though, Lydia.
But it's honestly such a pleasure to have you on. And you just kind of came on our screens. Everyone fell in love with you. The character Jill, but also your acting was chef's
fantastic.
Kiss. And I hadn't watched Years and Years, so that was the first time I've seen you. But I hear that you've been pretty busy. Like, have you been filming something just recently? Are you filming something at the moment?
I'm filming something at the moment, yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
I am, yes. So I'm filming an Apple TV series called Suspicion, which is a crime thriller kind of drama, espionage drama, with Uma Thurman. And it's basically...
Woo!
Yeah, and it follows... she is a very prominent businesswoman in New York and her son is kidnapped. And then it's kind of a who did it scandal. And there's four prime suspects from the UK.
Are you shooting in the UK?
Yeah, so we're shooting in and around London. And the week the show came out, I was working nights. So I was like filming from 4 to 4. And then I was kind of getting up in the day to do press and just like see the response and everything, like what was going on. So I remember just going to set being like, I am so confused. What's happening right now? I can't really handle this. Wow. It was just, it's just been so epic and so unbelievable.
It was
everyone
wonderful.
Just wants to keep talking about it, as do we. But I do want to know, you know, everyone, you've kind of become Jill in everyone's life.
Yeah, but she's not. She's
but you're Lydia.
Lydia
West.
And you also look half the age of Jill.
Do I?
Yeah, you look. Jill looked much older. She looked.
Maybe the clothes made you look more
slightly more maternal.
Absolutely,
you know.
And I think that's what they wanted from her. The whole thing about Jill, they wanted her very tactile and very kind of cozy and cuddly and maternal. So a lot of kind of bright colours and textured kind of fabrics. And like the yellow mac she always wears in episode 4 and 5 because it's like sunny and bright. And when all this darkness and this like bleakness is happening in their lives, Jill is there with her bright sunny coat and her bright sunny personality and being that figure for all these poor dear people that we lost.
So you like that, Lydia?
You're a bright sunny person.
You are. I can see you smiling. Make me smile.
Oh, I don't know. I think so. I'm very positive. I have a very kind of positive outlook in life. But Jill is really special. And yeah, I just feel honoured to have been able to play such an amazing character at such an early point in my career and for Russell. And it's such an important story to tell. So I just feel all sorts of honoured.
So, okay, so what stage of your career are you at? Like, how long have you been kind of professionally acting for? And where are you from? I don't even know where you're from. Yeah, I'm just thinking you're from the Pink Palace.
So I have been acting for 2.5 years, I want to say. We started Years and Years in 2018. Years and Years was my first job. So I was at drama school, I was at Identity, which is kind of a part-time drama school. And I had my agent and I was going to auditions, and then Years and Years audition came along and he was like, Lydia, go up for it. And I saw it was Russell T Davies' script and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to just go be seen for this. So I read for the part of Bethany, and that was my first job. So after then, I've kind of just been working on other things. And then I did another job between Years and Years and It's a Sin. It was called Dracula. And then the scripts for It's a Sin came through and I was like, oh, Russell again. Like, wow, this is amazing. And I read 2 episodes and I was like bawling my eyes out. And I went in to read for Jill twice. And then I got the call and I was like, I just can't believe I'm working with Russell again and on such an amazing story. So, yeah, and I came into acting quite late. I'm 27 now, so I was 25 when I booked Years and Years. And before then, I went to I kind of grew up in North London in Barnet with my parents. And I grew up kind of, I was dancing a lot. So I always was like, oh, I want to be a professional dancer. And that didn't work out because I had an injury. And then I kind of after that just didn't really get back into it. So I went to university. I studied business and I graduated from uni. And I was like, I hate this. What am I doing? I am not a business manager. What the hell am I doing? So then I started acting. And now here we are.
Fantastic.
And do you believe that It's a Sin has changed your life? Is that role, do you feel like it's changed things for you? You know, you've got this Uma Thurman Apple TV gig. I mean, like the rest is history now.
It's just mental, Jessie, because I get these jobs. And so my first job was Years and Years. And then kind of Emma Thompson came on board and Rory Kinnear was playing my dad. And I'm just this like small fish in this massive pond. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And well, I probably shouldn't admit that. And then after that, I was like in this amazing, another amazing show. And then I booked Suspicion. It was like, oh, Uma Thurman's on board. And then I did a film last year at the end of lockdown with Celine Dion.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
what?
Celine Dion.
Okay.
I'm in a movie with Celine. She has no idea who I am, but I'm in a movie.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so I've talked about this many times, maybe even on Table Manners, but have you seen the YouTube that Celine Dion is fucking amazing?
Oh, no.
Okay, you need to, after this, you need to go and watch Celine Dion is fucking amazing. It's probably one of my greatest joys to watch on YouTube. And she's, did you not get to meet her then?
No. No, not in real life.
That is shit.
I know, because it was in December and we were kind of very COVID secure filming, and I don't think she wanted to come and she wanted to come here. So she did all her scenes away.
Oh, bugger.
I know.
I would have wanted My Heart Goes On My heart will go on.
Yeah.
But it was a bit embarrassing because I do this thing like where, and probably you may have seen from It's a Sin, I'd like dance in my trailer like in the morning, every morning, to like hype up the boys and just to have as much fun as we could and kind of get into 80s spirit. I would invite all the boys into my trailer and just dance to our favourite 80s songs and just feel your most confident best self. And when I was filming Text for You, it was just Russell and I who had worked together before, who were friends. I didn't really have any friends on set, so I was just like, okay, I'm by myself now, so let me just like put my music on and have a little dance. And I put Celine on and I was dancing to Celine Dion, and then I was like, Lydia, you actually shouldn't do this because she's in this film. It's a bit awkward that you're fangirling Celine and she's in the film. So I stopped myself and just, I don't know why, I put on something else.
So are you from a big family, Lydia?
I'm from a really small family. We have a really small extended family, but I'm just one of three siblings, my sister and my brother, older sister and older brother. And then my parents, we grew up with my parents, and then grandparents from my mum's side live in London, and they're Irish. And my father is from Montserrat in the Caribbean. And his mother lives in Boston in the US. So we only just kind of have my maternal grandparents here and aunties, a couple of aunties, but quite a really, like, our Christmas is maybe 11 people. Always, it's always been like so small.
That's quite big, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
How many are you?
Well, I've got brother and sister and mum. And then we've got like...
You've got a dad.
Well, yeah, I've got a dad, but I don't really see him. But yeah, I'm definitely not spending Christmas with him. But who else do we have? Oh, yeah, because, I mean...
I've got my nieces and we've got your in-laws.
You obviously have the kids.
Oh, yeah, I have my children. I've forgotten about them. Yeah, I have two children and one on the way, yeah.
One almost.
So I've got one in there now. And so I'm going to have three of my own, because I thought that was like what you do because I'm one of three. And now I'm looking and going, how am I going to manage this in the park, like feeding the ducks with three children? But also,
how many years are between them?
Between the eldest and the little one. It's like 2.5 years for each one.
That's nice. That's the same as me, my sister and my brother.
Really?
Actually.
And are they actors?
No, not at all.
What do they do?
So my sister, who I live with, we're so close, and she's a teacher. And my brother, he doesn't work.
And what kind of teacher is your sister?
She is a primary school teacher. She teaches dance. So my sister was a professional dancer and retired and then was like, oh, I want to be a teacher. So she became a dance teacher. So it's actually amazing because in her school, I didn't know, when I was in primary school, they didn't really do this. They didn't like do just like dance for all years.
No.
But she teaches all years.
Oh, how fun.
Dance, yeah.
And you live together?
We live together, yeah.
Who's doing the cooking?
Well, I cook during the week because she works kind of, she has been working the whole of like lockdown. So I usually cook in the week, and in the weekend she cooks. But if there's red meat on the menu, I ask her to cook because I don't trust myself with red meat.
But do you eat everything, or are you fussy?
No, I eat everything and anything. And I was such like, my mum is such a feeder. I just grew up eating nonstop, and I was always very active because I danced about 5-6 times a week. But the amount of food I would consume, Jesse and Lenny.
And that's your mum's Irish side. So was there any particular like Irish food that you were having? Was it lots of soda bread, potato cakes?
Yeah, so my grandma is a massive baker, so she makes quite regularly soda bread. We have lots of bracks and cakes and pies.
What's bracks?
Brack is like... it's basically
it's like a fruit loaf.
Fruit loaf, yeah. It's got like currants and sultanas in it, and you kind of slice it, pop it in the microwave, butter, or under the grill and butter. And then lots of like hearty food, like bacon and cabbage, potatoes.
Bacon and cabbage.
Mm. With every single meal. Ribs, Irish ribs.
I've never had Irish ribs.
How do you cook them?
I have never cooked them, but I think they're like boiled in water, like salt in their water, and then you chuck the cabbage in, so the cabbage kind of boils in the salty water too, and I think you slow cook them for about 8 hours.
And did your dad take to this Irish cooking coming from the exotic Montserrat?
So my dad's an amazing cook, but he has some questionable taste in kind of what in what he eats. So my dad is one of those men who eats all sorts of ridiculous meat that I actually just won't eat. Like, he loves kidneys. He loves cow foot. He loves tongue.
Mum loves tongue too.
I love tongue.
He loves tongue. I can't eat it. I feel bad.
Have you ever tried the M&S tongue?
No.
Sliced tongue. Oh, yeah, it's quite nice with a strong mustard. It's quite nice.
Very nice. Really? In a sandwich, yeah.
Yeah, I can do it. If I don't think about it.
I remember my dad used to cook tongue at Christmas and he'd buy it and it was like a big cow's tongue and you have to curl it round in a basin.
That's what my dad
does. Press it down.
Yeah. That's he kind of stews it with like onion and garlic.
But you have to take off the furry bit, you know, little prickly bit.
Jesus.
They have to peel it off once you've boiled it.
Yeah.
So you boil it and then twist it round in the basin, then press it with a big weight.
When I think about it like that, it feels quite cannibalistic.
It's not right. No.
No, it's not right. What's your favourite thing your mum cooks?
So we had lots of like hearty British food. So I love my mum's fish pie. I love my mum's roast dinner. I love her shepherd's pie. We'd always have something with a potato. There's anything with a potato. And even now to this day, when my sister cooks, I just know we're going to have like a potato and meat and veg. It's very basic. Whereas I do like HelloFresh every day. So I'm like, okay, like let's make some jus and just make it a bit more imaginative. My sister's like lamb chops, a jacket potato and broccoli. I'm like, this is so boring.
But it's so funny because I did jacket potatoes for my kids tonight. And they were so disinterested in the potato. My kids are not fussed about it. They like chips, but when do you get to the point as being a child where potato becomes like a first love?
When you can't have them.
Probably. Yeah, maybe. But like, honestly, they're weird children. They just won't eat a fucking jacket potato. It's driving me crazy. I was like, here.
What was on the potato?
Beans and cheese.
Oh, lovely. The best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even give them the tuna mayo because I knew they wouldn't do it. And sausages on the side. They go straight for the sausages. It's driving me mad because I'm like, it's a jacket potato. I'm not giving you Lydia's dad's tongue. Do you know what I mean? It's driving me mad. But anyway.
What was your celebration meal when it was a birthday or you'd done well or...
Ooh.
What would you ask for?
I would ask for probably like fish and chips or a takeaway. So I was always like, let's get a takeaway or an Indian or something. But if my dad was cooking, he'd probably make like a steak and chips and egg. Love that. Ham and egg.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
Ham and egg and chips. Oh, so good.
Egg and chips is delicious.
Egg and chips is so good.
In the evening, it feels really naughty and really wonderful.
It does. And it's just so comforting.
Maybe you should give your kids egg and chips.
They'll love that.
It's really comforting. Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. But unfortunately, I already use the egg in the... Anyway, I mean, I could go into toddler eating for an hour, but I'm not going to bore you. So... Lydia, you know about table manners. You know we ask everybody what their last supper is.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a starter, a main, a pudding and a drink of choice. What would it be?
So my starter would have to be... So I'm obsessed with buffalo wings. Like, obsessed. Uh-huh. And anywhere I go, I have to kind of try the buffalo wings. And the best place where I found buffalo wings is this amazing restaurant in... Well, it's not amazing, but it's a good, right? It's a nice...
It's good for wings.
It's called Chick and Sours, and it's in Haggerston.
Oh, Chick and Sours?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and...
I haven't tried their wings.
Oh, they're buffalo wings. I used to live in Dalston, and I'd have their takeaway every Friday night. But I've moved recently, but my flatmate still lives there, and I go to her house to have the takeaway. She's like, okay, are you coming to see me or are you coming for chicken sours? And so I'd have a hot buffalo wings with like a blue cheese dip.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
No one's ever chosen that.
No one.
And I understand, it's like...
It's just got so that good in that, like, that kind of vinegary, salty, just goodness. So that would be my starter. My main would be... I think I'd have to go for... I know everyone says a roast dinner, but it's just so good. Like a lamb roast or a lamb shank even.
And what is so special about... Is it your mum's roast dinner that you're choosing or is it
my granny's roast dinner?
Oh, your granny's. Okay, yeah. So what would she do that was so special?
I think just the potatoes and goose fat and like Irish potatoes and goose fat and red cabbage with currants in them too. I don't know how she... But they're also quite salty and I don't know what she does to make it so, like, it's almost like a vinaigrette kind of in them, which is really nice. What else does she have in her roast? Cauliflower cheese, triple cheese, cauliflower cheese.
Triple cheese.
Yeah, I love that.
And then just the lamb with homemade mint sauce.
Oh, wow. She was a good cook then.
She's a really good cook. She is.
And she's still alive?
She is still alive,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. She's young, Jessie.
Yeah, you're young. I forget. Sorry.
Granny's still here. She still bakes for us. Nice. And yeah, but my granny's the kind of person who, like, no food can compare to hers. Like, if I say, like, oh, I cooked a meal, she has no interest in, like, in anything but her own cooking, because she just doesn't trust that we could ever make anything that we'd enjoy.
She's all so funny.
So even I make, like, a banana bread, and I don't really bake, but in lockdown I became a banana bread breaker, and I was like, Granny, I'll make you a banana bread and I'll bring it to your house. And she's like, no, I don't like that. And I was like, oh, quick, Granny, Granny, you haven't tried my banana bread. She's like, I don't like banana bread at all. I'm like, okay, fine.
So what's her bake that she does that's like is it the brack?
No, the brack's not my favourite. It would have to be the pineapple upside down cake.
Ooh.
I've never tried making that.
No,
actually.
I might have a go.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Do you think tinned pineapple better than
fresh? She uses
tinned
pineapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, she uses it, and it's so, I think, because it's so sweet and juicy.
And what do you have it with, custard or ice cream?
Custard.
I'm going to make it this weekend.
Can you make it gluten-free, Mum?
No.
Okay. anyway. Okay, so we've got Granny's roast.
And are you drinking Guinness with all of Granny's roast?
No, I don't like Guinness. I'm not a massive drinker. Tell you what I'm obsessed with at the moment. Sparkling Moscato. I'm obsessed with sparkling rosé or like rosé champagne.
Oh yeah.
Do you like alcohol free rosé?
Love it.
Right, so Marks and Spencer's do a really good one called Frisero.
I've tried it. It's so
better
good.
Than their white one.
Yeah, it's lovely, and that's why I think I like the sparkling Moscato at the moment, because it's literally just sugar. I love it. It's so sparkly and just bubbly.
Well, which leads us on to your pudding. So I don't know. Are you
upside down?
But she may have not chosen her granny's upside down cake for her last meal.
For my last meal ever, I really enjoy cookie dough, like warm cookie dough when it's not yet formed, the cookie. So it's like stodgy and just like gooey. And then with a scoop of ice cream. Maybe like butterscotch ice cream.
So you're making like your own this cookie kind of dough.
I'm not making my own. I'm ordering it from Pizza Hut.
How do you do that?
So Pizza Hut have this warm cookie dough.
You're filthy, Lydia. I love this.
It's filthy. It's so filthy.
You can order warm cookie dough, which you intend to make cookies with, but you don't make the cookies with, or is it just a thing?
No, so they half bake it, so it's almost like the cookie is finished, but then they take it out of the oven 10 minutes early.
Are you supposed to finish it off when you get it home, or
no, you're supposed to eat it as the dough, as the warm dough.
I don't know anyone who still orders Pizza Hut, but I feel like you're the person that's keeping them alive, Lydia.
And you have to order two for it. And I don't actually like their pizza. I prefer Domino's. If I'm having like bad pizza, I'd rather have Domino's. But the cookie dough, you have to order two to get it above, I think, £9 or whatever.
Oh my God, you'll literally just order Pizza Hut cookie dough to get it.
So for dessert.
This is a great bit of intel.
What was the catering like on on the production?
On set?
Were you allowed to eat together because of, were you filming in COVID?
No, so we started in September 2019. We wrapped in January 2020. Yeah. But the food on set, so I really loved like just like comfort eating while we were filming, because it was just so sad. So I ate a lot of cheesy beans on toast most mornings, and then all the kind of prop food that was set out that no one else would eat, I would be just munching on.
But that's the thing, did it really take it out of you? Because it was so upsetting. And I guess because you were acting it, you were feeling it, you were experiencing it, you've obviously done all this research. But that's really interesting that you felt like you needed to...
Comfort
food and stuff. I think that's really interesting, but I completely understand why. Because would it zap the life out of you after doing takes of some of those scenes, like in the hospitals?
Oh my gosh, I remember the scenes in the AIDS. So we were in the AIDS ward for 3 weeks and we did obviously all of the AIDS ward stuff at once.
Where was that filmed?
It was filmed in Manchester.
Okay.
And it was in a school. It was like an old school, an old secondary school, which had closed. They converted a whole floor and created this AIDS ward. And I was even shocked kind of stepping into it because there were signs like infectious diseases, enter at your own risk, and all the rooms were locked. And during those days filming, some of the supporting artists, they cast some very frail, thin supporting artists, and then they'd put kind of the KS lesions on the tattoo makeup on their faces, and they would be walking around, and it was harrowing. It was like what an AIDS ward in London would have looked like in the 80s. And for the first 2 weeks it was okay, we were kind of getting through them. And then there was one scene in the third week. It was a scene where it's Colin's last night, and it's scripted that Jill is so strong, and she comes from a show. She's just come from a performance at the show, and she's just kind of telling the boys how the show went, and everything's positive, and nothing lets on that she's emotional at all. And I remember being mid-take, and I just broke down, and that rarely happens to me, because I was just... I just felt like this rush of emotion take over me, and I had to just remove myself. And Peter, our director, I was like, Peter, I'm so sorry. I just need a second. Like, something's just hit me, and I can't really handle this. So I really wanted to call my mum, and I tried to call my mum, and she didn't answer. You know, when you're like, I just need to speak to mum right now, and then she didn't answer. So I just sat down, and everyone was so, all the boys were so supportive, and it just dawned on me how this was reality. And some people like Jill, there were these strong people in the face of this that just kept their composure and remained strong for their friends and fought till the end and saw all of this happen at 24 years old. Which just like younger than I was, and they're seeing their friend they're deteriorating, and poor Colin has early onset dementia, and he's not even in the room. So those scenes really took it out of me, and I think subconsciously I was kind of eating to feel just kind of comfort. And then also doing all the dancing and all the kind of, we'd spend all every weekend we'd go for a Sunday dinner together, all of us, all the boys and myself, just to kind of just have as much fun as we can in such a, well, creating a project which is set in such a bleak era.
But that's what was so believable about the friendship. Like, you really felt like you all lived together. Like, it felt like you were those housemates at uni.
Yeah.
There was something so beautiful about how those friendships were depicted. I love the fact that you were all kind of living and breathing each other and going for your Sunday roast and to kind of, I mean, you and Ollie are quite good friends now, aren't you?
Such good friends. He's so sweet. And I was really, really nervous to sing and to be singing with him because I, not just kind of any actor, it was Ollie Alexander from Years and Years. So I'd never really sung publicly before. So when I was in this kind of massive room, it wasn't even, I referred to it as a sports hall because it literally looked like a sports hall in Media City. So the acoustics were terrible, and there was just me and a piano, and I was singing the French Revolution number, and Ollie walks in mid-song, and I'm like, no, why now? Why while I'm mid-song? No. So then I kind of get to the end, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm so scared to meet you. You're so great. And he's like, oh my God.
Is that the first time you met?
We met, and within an hour, and Ollie, it really calmed my nerves because I'd been practicing with a vocal coach for about 3 weeks, all the songs. So I knew kind of what I was doing, which key I was coming in at. And Ollie arrived and he's like, okay, so what song should we do first? And I think we decided to do More, More, More first. And Ollie was like, okay, does anyone have the lyrics? And I was like, oh, thank God. He hasn't been practicing as much as I have. And he just made me feel so comfortable. And within an hour, the director, the producer and the producers came down to watch our performance. And I was just like, what? It's going on. I'm just singing.
That's
surreal. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
So what was it like shooting in Manchester? Did you have loads of fun? Did you eat out in lots of fantastic places? Do you have any memorable places that you ate at?
Yeah, so I love... There's an amazing pasta restaurant called Sugo. And it's like very seasonal, so their menu always changes. But they have an amazing gnocchetti. I think it was like a truffle gnocchetti. Which was delicious, and like a ragu, beef ragu, which was lovely.
Where did you live? Were you living in, whereabouts were you staying in Manchester?
Well, we were staying for quite a lot of it. I was staying in the Doubletree in the like Piccadilly, and then I moved to an apartment in Piccadilly. So really central, but I love like the Northern Quarter. There's an amazing restaurant called Evelyn's in the Northern Quarter.
Evelyn's.
I love Evelyn's. Their roast.
I don't know it.
It's great.
Is that where you'd go for a roast?
Yeah. We try basically all the roasts, I think, because we were there for so long and we had to every weekend.
It's good fun though, Manchester, isn't it?
So fun.
And the people are warm.
Yeah, it's so great. I love it there.
Do you sing, now you're singing, do you ever sing karaoke?
I hate karaoke. So you love Jessie, it. I know you do.
Strangely, I love it.
She loves
it. Have you been? Yeah. When was the last time you went?
Oh, 100 years ago.
Yeah, she talks like she's like somebody with a season ticket to like
I
Lucky Boys.
I don't go anywhere at the minute.
No.
I'd do anything. I'd sit and sing.
Oh my God,
Mum,
you could be singing. Oh,
I bet you can sing.
You're just there, Bridget.
I bet it runs in the family. I bet you can all sing.
I can't sing.
You can sing all right.
I can sing okay, but Jessie sings the best. Hannah doesn't sing very well, and Alex definitely can't sing.
So what's on the cards for Lydia West after you finish this Apple TV thing? I mean, I'm sure the calls are all coming in, but have you got any other things in the pipeline? Are you sorted for 2021 and 22?
No, not yet. I'm just kind of, I'm waiting for the next project. We're going to see what kind of comes along. It's hard because when you do kind of two Russell jobs, almost back to back, and telling such an important story, which we have with It's a Sin, it just feels, I'm ready to just wait until the next kind of, until something I'm really drawn to comes along and something special. I like reading projects and kind of if I would watch them, just I'd love to be involved. And I'm pretty easy to please. So I'm excited to see what comes next.
We are so happy that we've got to speak to you. Congratulations.
Table manners.
Oh, Lydia West, do you have good table manners?
Yes, I do.
Of course she does. Look at, like, she's so polite. You're perfect.
Not perfect.
I would quite like to see you, how you dismantle a buffalo wing, though. I would quite like to see how that happens, because that ain't pretty.
It's not pretty. And I don't think you can be. I think when you try to, you just have to go for it.
Commit.
Have we got buffalo wings in our
cookbook? We've got a couple. So my friend Kitty is obsessed with buffalo wings, to the point she says the Wetherspoons ones are brilliant.
I've never tried.
She says they're great.
Okay,
well now you need to try.
We better send her a cookbook.
Anyway, we'll send you a cookbook, because we've got these oven baked buffalo wings with a really good sauce that incorporates Frank's hot sauce
yes.
in there. And like, it's really good when you do a blue cheese dip. So we've got it, and it's an oven one, so you feel virtuous eating them.
Oh my gosh.
And they're like, they're really delicious. We'll send you a cookbook.
And I heard the cookbook also has the leopard print sleeve.
Oh my God.
You see?
Wait.
I told you it was a winner.
I'm here for this.
Thank you, because Jessie didn't want it. Actually, you can't see, but I've got my leopard print trousers on today.
Can't beat a bit of leopard print.
She cheered me up.
Lydia West, it's been such a pleasure to meet you. Everyone delight. Fell in love with you this year. And it's just such a joy to actually meet you and for you to just be just as sunny, if not, like, I mean, just as sunny as Jill and just fun and brilliant. I can't wait to watch you in this Apple TV thing. What's it called?
Suspicion.
And when's it out?
We haven't finished yet, so.
Oh, so it's ages. Years.
Fine. Just keep on.
Years and years.
Watch years and years and then watch It's a Sin again. So, but listen, thank you so much for finding the time. I know it's been a crazy time for you, and so we've loved getting you in.
Thank you for inviting me on. I'm so happy to be here.
Lydia West, sunshine on a screen.
Oh my goodness, she was just so gorgeous, so wonderful, so delightful.
No wonder people want to work with her, because she's really good at her job,
just
but she's
like
also
sunshine,
lovely.
Yeah.
I really like that, and also just love the fact that her last meal was chicken wings. That's a good call, you know. I get that. It's like you want that taste the last time. And the cookie dough for Pizza Hut. I mean, please email us if anybody else has done this before or who anybody intends to go and order half-baked cookie dough from Pizza Hut now that you've heard Lydia. And then well, of course, eat it. I mean, cookie dough is quite delicious. Email us at hello@tablemannerspodcast.com. So anybody who hasn't watched It's a Sin, I feel like if you haven't and you've just listened to this whole episode, I'm sorry there were lots of spoilers. But to all our North American listeners, It's a Sin's already out. All the episodes on HBO Max. Go and have a watch of it. Love you, Lydia West. Thank you for being on. And everyone go and watch It's a Sin. I'm going to go and watch it years and years now. We hope you're all right. And we will see you next week. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.